to the Hallmarkies podcast. Today is a very special Christmas episode of Once Upon an Upside. I am Amy, and I'm here with my co-host, Jess.
Hello, everybody, and Merry Christmas.
Merry, Merry Christmas. So today we're covering the first three Up Christmas releases. So those were, so in case, just make sure you've watched them. A Very Country Christmas Homecoming. Yes, that is a tongue twister. A Ring for Christmas, and Mistletoe Magic. So those are the first three Up movies that we will be covering. Let's just jump right into it. All right, let's start out with A Very Country Christmas Homecoming. Now, this is the third movie in this series, and this stars Grayson Holt and B. Santos. I was right. Grayson Holt and B. Santos. And this has been on an Up series for like 3 or 4 years now. And this is the third movie in the series. So Jeanette and Zane, they are married. They're ending their honeymoon and they come back for Christmas, their first Christmas as a married couple with Jeanette's daughter, Quinn. There's other family in the mix. And then Quinn's grandfather, her deceased father's dad, comes back into the picture. And so John is now spending Christmas with them, having some problems a little bit with, you know, Zane wanting to adopt Quinn. There's also this aspect of, oh, fun fact, Zane is a country singer and he's famous. And if you haven't watched the previous movies, you might be confused about that. But he's a famous country singer, so there's problems with the paparazzi. There's also a good friend of him that's another country singer named Jolene, who's doing a song with a lady named Cake. And there's just all these hijinks. Okay, Jess, what did you think of this movie? I know you haven't seen the others, so.
Yes, I will preface that with, I have not seen the first two. I wanted to watch them. I just ran out of time. But there are some flashbacks in this movie. So I got little bits and snippets, and I think I would have liked the first two movies. However, I did not particularly love this one. And I'm not necessarily certain if I had watched the other two, I would have liked it anymore. It was a little slow for me, and I felt like it had good intentions, but it just kind of missed the mark. And the cake lady just drove me off the wall.
Same. Yep.
Although I was really amused that her followers were called Cake Pops. She was just too much. It was like, tone the diva down a little bit with her.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely. I've only seen the second movie of these three, and clearly I didn't remember it all that much because I did not know who half the people were in this movie. But I thought it was cute. It was a good story. I think as a third in a series, it was pretty good for that, but I just didn't know much of what was going on, who the people were. It didn't, like, reintroduce people necessarily. I'm assuming John was a new character that wasn't in the past.
Yeah, that was my, or I would agree with that too. And I felt like they didn't feel like a newlywed couple to me. What did you think about that? Like,
yeah, it seemed more like they'd been married for a lot longer. But the thing is, I'm pretty sure their wedding movie was themed to be like summer themed. Mm-hmm. And then this was the honeymoon and it was winter. So, like, I'm guessing they've been married for like 6 months or more already.
Yeah.
I think. But I don't really know.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's talk about some of the things, like, fun things in this movie. So, I don't know. There was fake TMZ. I wrote about that. I wrote that down in my notes. It was like, oh, that's a very good fake TMZ. Yeah. But what did you
with the paparazzi?
What did you think of that whole paparazzi scene? Like, especially the way everyone acted in that situation. How did you think about that?
I think they should have played with that more. That when he like batted the camera out of the photographer's hand, I was like, yes, there's some life in this movie. Like, this is some action that I'm wanting, because up until that point it had been really slow. And I'm like, oh yeah, he's like getting like passionate for Quinn and, you know, trying to protect her. And then they had like the people sitting outside their house, but I felt like they had that moment and it just kind of like fizzled. Like they didn't really stick with it as much as I thought. I thought it was going to be like a big thing, and it really wasn't, you know. That's the, and that was kind of a running theme, I think, for me in this movie. They had a lot of these little like issues that came up, but they were resolved in like 3 seconds. And so it never felt like true conflict was happening to me.
It was like very, it was kind of space, and it, yeah, it resolved very quickly. Also, if we genuinely think about what happened in that situation, what he probably should have done was just turn Quinn around and walked away the minute he saw the guy taking pictures. That would have been the smart thing to do. Just leave.
Like, yeah.
Just not engage at all. So that was like the thing. I was like, why are you, like, you have your young daughter here. This guy's being a jerk. Just turn around. Walk away. Like, but you know, it wouldn't have been dramatic if they had done that. That would have just been a
I liked the drama of it. More, I just wish they had taken it further, because I felt like it just kind of like ended with that moment. I mean, there was a little bit of the press thing or the fake TMZ or whatever, but yeah, then it just kind of like was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, and then
Cake saves the day.
Cake saves the day and gives someone a car.
Yes, this is how we resolve problems.
Yeah, I don't know if any of our listeners have ever tried to do a giveaway, but we've done giveaways the past on Hallmarkies and stuff. And let me tell you, you can't just say, I'm going to give away a car. Like, it doesn't work that way. There's so many rules and regulations and everything about giveaways.
Also, like, we've never given away a car.
Yeah, no. I don't know where we get a car. But like, even with like very small things, like there has to be so many rules and you have to make sure everything's written out and like all this stuff. So she's, you know, she's got the money. She's going to give away a car to anybody.
Well, she bought 7 at once, so she's got some to spare.
Yeah, she's got plenty of cars.
And she had nothing to do with those cars.
I know, like what?
She just thought they were pretty.
Yeah. Didn't she say she didn't even drive?
I think so.
But then part of that was she was recording a song, and Jolene, which I think Jolene isn't related to any of these people, she's just like a friend.
I think she's just like in the music studio, like she knows Zane professionally, was the what I that yeah. was kind of my interpretation.
Yeah, so Jolene is you know, not very happy about having to record this song with her. That was another storyline that like kind of happened and then didn't anymore, and then there was some at the end. It was kind of Yeah, it was kind of sporadic. But what did you think of that character, Jolene?
I liked her. I think they could have used her a little bit more. Like, I liked the scene a lot when she and I think she and Quinn were like wrapping gifts for like a church group or something. I was like, well, that's kind of nice. Like, you know, not only having that like a little bit of a spiritual component reference in there, but like kind of bringing that, you know, as part of like the Christmas, a lot of people like do think like they get, make gifts for me, like adoptive families. I don't know if you guys have done those, but like,
yeah,
we have quite a few of those around here and things like that. And then she had the concert at the end. I thought she did really well with Oh Holy Night. It's a hard song. So
yeah, it is. She did a very good singing, I believe. Then like halfway through the movie, there was a character named Mark who appeared. I don't know who Mark was still. I have no idea.
I don't even know who he is with you telling me.
I don't know. I don't know who this guy was.
I don't recall a character named Mark.
Just watch their other movies. The one thing that did, I did start crying during this movie, and it was the song that Quinn wrote to her father who had passed, Oliver, and Zane helped her write that song. And that was just, it was so sweet. And the song was just, like, I don't know, it made me very emotional. It was so beautiful, you know, talking about how she has her father's eyes and things like that. Mm-hmm. It was a very, very sweet moment, and that was probably my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, Zane was so great about like trying to like honor her father's memory and not like, and even with John coming, like he really stepped back. He didn't like, no, it's our Christmas time. You've been gone for how many years and whatnot. And Zane was really great about just being like, no, it's just like thinking of Quinn, I think, a lot.
Yeah, so that conflict was very few and far between the John and Zane.
John.
Yeah, between the John and Zane, that conflict was very few and far between. There wasn't like a ton of it. I was worried that John was going to become like this ultimate bad guy who was helping out the paparazzi, which would have made it more dramatic. But I'm glad that that didn't end up happening. But yeah, I think that the best part of this movie, the part of the movie that I enjoyed though the most was the different ways that they talked about her father with her and honored her father in different ways and things like that. And kind of that incorporation of, even though Zane is going to become her guardian, is a father figure in her life, that Oliver was still her dad and she is going to have the opportunity to get to know him through his dad and through her mom and things like that. So I think that was a very sweet element, and I liked that part of the story a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, the kid got a pony for Christmas.
I'm so jealous. Like, I want a pony. And I was like, they were both going to get her, like, one was going to get her a horse and one was going to get her a pony. And it's like, wow, these are very generous folks. I guess he's a country singer, but.
Well, yeah, that's true. He is famous. But, like, I was like, well, all of us, you know, little girls out there who wanted ponies for Christmas when we were little. Well, Quinn, you know, Quinn is living our dream.
Living our dream.
Which I thought was really, really cute. And then one of the other scenes, the thing that I thought was very cute at the end was the last present that she gave him. I thought that was really cute when he opened it and it was the positive pregnancy test. I thought that was really cute.
Yeah.
I liked that element. Because that scene was kind of getting slow to me because we had just had John read like the first 4.5 pages or something of The Night Before Christmas, which kind of went on for a little bit. And I was like,
yeah,
could have just done 'Twas the Night Before Christmas and then moved on to the next scene. Like, that's all he had to say.
Yeah.
He didn't have to keep reading it. And then the present scene was a little bit like kind of dragging a little bit. And then that part though, I was like, oh, okay. So this is what they were trying to get to.
And it sets it up for maybe possible movie number 4.
I know. Now
the story could continue.
Yeah. Now they can do like a fall movie because Baby probably would be coming in fall, right? Yeah. I think so. Yeah, they can make a 4th, definitely, because these movies, I mean, this is definitely a good movie, and I definitely think I would have been invested or watched the other ones memorably. What would you rank this?
Oh, I ranked it 4.5. I gave it pretty low.
Really?
I thought I had good intentions in, you know, some moments with heart, but it just didn't hit it for me.
Okay. I actually gave it a 7.
Well, we've already talked about it on this podcast, so you and I do not always agree.
Yeah, I thought it was cute. It was good. It wasn't like I was sitting there, like, it didn't take me to a dark place, as Rachel says.
It didn't take me to a dark, I mean, I will admit to listeners, I'm a little stingy with points. Like, you gotta really wow me if you want to get up there. So don't be like, I'm hating on all these movies. That's just my, like, I'm just stingy with my balloons. I guess they are my balloons. Yeah. I'm holding my balloons. And
But we do have to say, that we have an interview with Grayston Holt, not us. Cammy interviewed Grayston Holt. And that will be coming out later this.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Month after this episode, so you can look forward to that. But the next movie that we are covering from Up, it aired on November 8th, and that is A Ring for Christmas. And this movie was actually starred in and written by the lead actress. Liliana Tandon, Liliana Tandon. And so it also stars Dean Greer, Charles Hettinger. And so we did, Rachel interviewed the writer and the main lead actress, and that is already up. It was up a few weeks ago, so if you want to go listen to that, you can go listen to that, listen to her talk about the writing experience for this and acting in the movie. But this movie is about Angie, who is getting cut off. She's spending some frivolous money, and her mom says, you know what, you're getting cut off. And she finds out, she has an older sister, and she finds out that when her older sister got married, she got a marriage inheritance. And so Angie decides that she's going to get married by Christmas so that she can get a marriage inheritance as well. So this leads Angie to go back to her hometown. She reconnects with her childhood best friend, Gabe, and the cutest guy at school, Tyler. And, you know, hijinks kind of go on from there. So what did you think of this movie, Jess?
So it was better than I thought it was going to be. It wasn't what I expected. I thought it was going to be a bit of a different plot line than it ended up being. However, it wasn't bad. Like, I think it got progressively better. It started a little slow and I wasn't sure about it. And then I thought it got progressively better. And I really enjoyed, I mean, we'll get into it, but like there was that whole storyline, like the school program that I really, really liked as well, this movie.
Are you talking about the after school program that Tyler wanted to do or the math program she was part of?
Wait, there was two?
Yeah. So, well, they just talked about Tyler, how Tyler wanted to open a gym and do after school activities with the kids.
No, the one she was already doing. Sorry.
Oh, okay. So yeah, she was helping her childhood teacher in the classroom with math and stuff, which was really fun. And honestly, it felt like in the movie that they were setting it up for her wanting to become a teacher. Did it feel that way to you?
I never thought that, but I could see how you would, like...
Yeah, it kind of, so then when at the end of the movie, there was a different job that she ended up interviewing for and going for and everything. But I felt like the interaction that she had with the kids and helping out and doing the word problems and things like that, I thought they were kind of setting it up to have her become a teacher or a math teacher or something like that. Or I thought it was going to be at the end of the movie, like, oh, her teacher was retiring and she was going to take her job or something like that. That's what it kind of felt like to me. So I didn't get that payoff the end that I was expecting. But other than that, I thought this movie was very funny. I laughed quite a bit during this movie. I thought it was very, very funny. So yeah, let's just talk about some of the different parts of it. So the first time she meets the kids that are her teachers, after school students, she talks about being a consultant. But before that, these kids gave all these very cute suggestions, like, are you like a cat lady or all these other things that some were occupations, some, I mean, I guess you could turn them into occupations, but I thought that was adorable. So you enjoyed that whole after school activities with her. What did you think of that? And what did you think of her word problems too?
Those were interesting. Well, what was funny was, like, we were given the impression that she was good at math, right? But I would, like, I felt like that was a disconnect with her character. Like, when she's first presented, I'm like, this would not be someone I'd be like, she's great at math, secretly. And I was like, okay, but we'll go with it. And yeah, I thought it was really cute that she got, like, really involved with that. And I just thought it was a nice part of the storyline. Mm-hmm. And I liked all the kids. Like, there was, and especially when they, I think it was like toward the end, they helped her interview, prepare for her job interview.
Yeah, that was really cute. It was very cute. But when they were doing the word problems, I was like, those aren't word problems though. You're just saying things and then writing numbers on the board.
Yeah, she didn't know what she was doing.
Yeah, I'm like, that's not a word problem. You have to like read a word problem. You would have had to write all the words on the board, but it's fine. It's a movie. That made more sense just to write the numbers. Okay, so then this whole thing that she has to get married, so she like creates this deal with Tyler and Tyler's gonna marry her, and it was almost like nobody questioned the fact that they had just reconnected like 3 days prior and hadn't seen each other since high school.
Yeah. There was a bit of an unbelievable element here because Tyler is just like, he finds out pretty quickly, I think, about the arrangement. And he's just like, okay, I'm in. Like, let's do this. I'm like, what?
Yeah, but the proposal was, I think it was pretty cute, even though it was, you know, fake. But
you know, that's the thing, yeah, that I wrote down. I'm like, Tyler is not really presented as a bad guy. Like, he's actually a decent guy, even though he's going on this crazy plot line of marrying somebody that he's not really in love with. But he's really not a bad guy, and they did have some chemistry, I thought, too. And so and that's where I was saying this movie wasn't what I expect, because I assumed she would make the arrangement with, well, they wouldn't know. She would fall in love with, or someone would fall in love with her, and then later she would tell them and it would all fall apart, you know, and whatever. But yeah, this was definitely not what I was expecting. And he was a contender, you know, they had some chemistry.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I agree. They did. And he, like you said, he was a good guy. Like, the proposal was nice. He went and did her family's dinner with her with the gingerbread house thing. You know, he was like actively spending time with her too, which I thought was really sweet. And you know, he was never painted necessarily as the bad guy. So then there's Gabe, which was her childhood best friend, and she just like, she saw his Facebook profile, was like, oh no, not him. Which I thought was funny. But he helps his dad run the local diner. Apparently he makes very good cookies, because they talked about that multiple times in the movie, of his cookie making. So what did you think of Gabe, and what did you think of
him? I don't know. I guess I don't really have any strong feelings one way or another for him. Like, obviously we know that he's supposed to be like with her, but They had a cute cooking montage. I know that. They had a cute cooking montage.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I watched this one like first and I do not remember a lot of details.
Okay. I kind of feel like almost like Angie's character spent more time with Tyler. So there wasn't as much chemistry with Gabe. So I would have liked it more if, I mean, not necessarily painting Tyler as the bad guy, but if it was like, you know, Gabe was like doing best man duties or something like that, and that made them spend more time together, so there was more chemistry. I just think there wasn't a lot of scenes of them together, and so I saw more chemistry between her and Tyler. Now, however, the necklace thing.
Yes, I was just gonna bring that up.
Yeah.
Yes. So
what did you think about that?
Because that was like really, really sweet. So if you watched, you know, there was like an ornament from her dad. It was like kind of like blue, like it was like a snowflake, wasn't it, or something? Mm-hmm. And Tyler was the one who broke it, and then he and then Gabe made her like the necklace or whatever. That was like, it wasn't quite the same, but like you get that he was trying to recreate that.
Yeah, he used one of the pieces of the thing. That's what it was, and I was like,
oh okay, yeah, sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, it was such a sweet thing. And her friend, Paulette, really irritated me.
Oh, yes. At first, I thought she was like little, and when I say at first, the movie in like the first like 5 or 10 minutes, I'm like, oh, she's kind of funny. She's going to be some comic relief. And then I just like hated her.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh.
You're a terrible friend.
Exactly. Especially when she walked in and was like, oh, this is from Tyler about the necklace. And I'm like, what?
I know. No. I literally wrote in my notes, oh, no, you didn't. Just say that.
Oh yeah, I was just like, oh, I do not like this Paulette girl. She is not a good BFF. Sorry. Yeah, but other than that, it was cute. It was a funny movie. I think it was a fun premise. It went in a direction I wasn't expecting. But yeah, is there anything else you want to talk about, Jess, or add?
I just have to quote this part because it was hilarious in the beginning when she was like literally just like cold calling people and like, hey, how would you like a lot of free money? All you have to do is marry me. And she was just calling people and asking them that. I'm like, what is this alternate reality? Oh my goodness.
Seeing that scene, I just imagine my best friend and me going through my Facebook profile and just like going to every guy I went to high school with and just calling them, being like, hey, you want to get married?
It's like, you'll get a lot of free money.
It's just like,
am I being punked?
Yeah, exactly. Like, are you on a reality TV show or something? Oh my goodness. Yeah, that was really funny part. I love that. Definitely.
And then when she and Gabe were, I think she and Gabe were cooking, and she was like, "No way am I putting my hand up a chicken's butt to stuff the chicken or whatever."
Oh my goodness. All right, so what would you rate this movie?
So yeah, I gave it a 6 out of 10. I thought it was funny. And it, you know, there was like some good moments. It just, some of the things just didn't quite track for me. Like the whole fact that they actually got to the altar and then, you know, Tyler says the necklace isn't from him. And she's like, "Oh my gosh, I made a mistake." And he's like, "Yeah, I can tell like you liked Gabe more." I'm like, "Then why are you kidding?" Like, there are just some plot holes for me that didn't quite work and stuff, but I gave it a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, so I also gave it a 6 out of 10. But the thing now that I'm just thinking about is Tyler was going to go through with this knowing that his best friend was in love with her.
Yeah.
Like, okay. What?
Question two. Okay, this might be the second plot hole that I was, like, really confused. The mom had to have known about the marriage trust, right?
Yeah.
Why did she not realize, like, she would have known what, didn't she know what Angie was doing?
I don't know. Like you'd think she would have questioned it.
Yes, that's okay. Yeah, like, "Mom, where are you?" Like, I don't know.
Especially when the sister said that the mom had to sign off on the marriage trust.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I was like, okay.
There were some plot holes here, yeah. But it's okay. It wasn't a terrible movie. You know, I thought this movie was either going to tank or like it could be really funny, and I think it definitely got more toward the funny, the aspect. So it was better than that. It could have been really bad, and it wasn't. So that's good.
Yeah, and I did. You know, the main actress wrote that movie, and that's something that last year Christmas was written by the main two. The actor and actress was written by that. So I enjoy that. That's something that Up does that allows, you know, people to write and star and stuff like that. So that's fun. And it was a fun movie. So 6 out of 10 from the both of us. Let me know if you agree.
We agreed on one. Okay.
I know this is the first, I don't think it's the first time, but.
we've had some pretty radical disagreements.
I know. All right.
Okay, but, let's be real though. My rating on Country Christmas may have been lower because I was still on my high from the last movie we're about to talk about.
Oh, yes.
I watched the country one last.
Yes.
The day after. So that may have played into why it didn't hit it for me because I was just too in love with this other movie.
Okay. So our final movie aired November 15th and it's called Mistletoe Magic.
And we had a lot of fun with this boarding in the preview show.
Yes. Okay. One, it should be a candle brand or like a perfume or something. Mistletoe Magic. Someone name something after this. But which I do think, hold on, I'm going to look it up on Up's website. I do think that their branding has something to do with mistletoe for this Christmas.
Oh, maybe. Well, while you're looking that up, I thought it was very ironic that in this entire movie, they kept referring to magic mistletoe, but they never actually used the words mistletoe magic.
Like, I know.
Flipped it, and I was like, I kept hearing it. I'm like, that's not the title. That's not the title.
Oh no, it's not. Their Christmas theme this year is Merry Movie Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Merry Movie Christmas. Merry Mistletoe Christmas or something. Come on.
You know, just Mistletoe Magic.
Yeah, just Mistletoe Magic. It would work.
Cool.
Anyways, let's talk about this movie. Okay, so this movie stars Grayson, or nope, that's the wrong person.
Stephen Huszar.
Okay, this movie stars Stephen Huszar and Jessica Sipos, and oh my goodness, it was amazing. So basically, this movie is about Harper and her family's magic mistletoe. So she packed up her family's magic mistletoe and had it put in her neighbor's storage unit, and then her neighbor donated it to Luke's store, which was a thrift store, but it kind of looked like it was only a Christmas thrift store. And
just went ahead and stocked that time of year.
Yeah. So then she has to help try to find this mistletoe because her sister Holly is going to get engaged to her boyfriend Mark and wants to kiss under this magic mistletoe. I guess the whole lore, the mistletoe magic lore, is that their grandparents kissed underneath this mistletoe. Their parents did. Their aunt did with her husband. And then, like, their cousin did with his wife and all this other stuff. So it was all this magic that had happened. People who ended up together, they kissed under this mistletoe. And so her sister Holly was like, I think my boyfriend Mark is going to propose. I really want to kiss under the mistletoe, keep the magic. Harper was unsure of the magic, but ended up going on this quest, this journey with Luke to find said mistletoe, and it was amazing. So, Jess, what did you think of this?
Okay, I'm going to start with this. So, anyone who listens to me on Silver Mia podcast or the Hallmarkies podcast knows I'm not a romantic, right? Okay, so at the end, I'm jumping like way down now. She basically says she's in love with him after like 2.5 days. And normally I'd be like, no. But let me tell you, I was in love with him after 1.5 hours. So it's possible. I love this movie. I thought it was so freaking cute. They had amazing chemistry. And, you know, because I've seen Steven in Ruby Herring. He's in Ruby Herring, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and a few other movies, but I feel like he's like playing usually more serious role, or like not. He's still like, we got this very comical side of him, and I just loved it. And he and Jessica were great together, and I loved the quirky friend Elle. Like, I love this movie. It had my heart.
Definitely. I completely agree. I loved Steven Huzar in this movie, and also Jessica Sippos, they both just did an amazing job. Their chemistry was amazing. At first, when I saw the poster, I was like, oh, I don't know if they're gonna have chemistry. But the two of them, it was just, they had such great chemistry. They were so funny together. They played off each other very well, I think. And like you said, Steven Huzar in more of like a funny, comedic, like not so serious, because he's so serious in Ruby Herring.
Yeah, he's a detective.
Yeah, like, he has so, to yeah, but like he's just so like, it was such a funny movie. Now last week on our off network recap, I don't know, did you watch A Crafty Christmas on Lifetime? Okay. Crafty Christmas was about searching for something. They were looking for somebody and a coin. And that movie dragged. It was so bad. And this movie restored my faith in the possibility of looking for something during Christmas, okay? Because they just, in this movie and Up, they just did it right, like, because it was funny. They did it together. It tied into the mistletoe. And it was, like, all the different aspects were awesome. So let's, like, talk about the first place they went. So the first place was to his Aunt Kathy. She bought the box of mistletoe. So what did you think of
Can we start at the thrift store?
Okay.
Because we need to talk about his vest.
Oh, his Christmas vest.
With like 50 Christmas things attached to it. I think that was the moment I knew the movie was going to be great. The minute I saw that vest, I'm like, I am sold.
Yeah.
Seeing Steven Huzar wearing this vest.
And it's Christmas vest. And Harper's character was like, oh, does your boss make you wear that? And he's like, yeah, I am the boss. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, yes. So she's going to be like the non-Christmas, like kind of Scroogey. And he's going to be like the Mr. Christmas. And I was just so happy about
that. Yes. And he knows who, and we had to say here, he knows who she is, but she does not remember him at this point.
Oh, yeah. So he knows her and she does not remember him. And we'll talk about that more in a little bit. But all right. So the first place they look, they go to Aunt Kathy's house because she bought the box of ornaments that her friend Elle had donated that has the magic mistletoe in it. So what did you think of that first stop? Because Aunt Kathy is in love too now. So
yeah, well, we're already beginning to see the lore of the mistletoe take place. And I didn't even realize that's what it was like. Like, that's what they were setting up. I was like, oh, okay. Like, duh. Like, it's magic mistletoe. So obviously everywhere we go, there's going to be like the romance is starting.
Yeah.
So we got that. And I like how Luke didn't know anything, of course, about this new boyfriend. He kept trying to get some information. He's like, but Harper just like keeps interrupting him. Like, no, we're here on the mission of the mistletoe.
Which was so funny. And then, you know, how Robert was like, oh, you have a celebrity in the house because she's the weather girl.
yeah.
I just thought that was awesome. It was so fun.
I thought about okay. meteorologist, you know?
Yeah. Famous meteorologist, yes. I mean, there's one in California named Dallas Rains, and I feel like everyone knows who Dallas Rains is, at least in California, because he's, I think he is like KTLA or something like that. But, you know, meteorologists, they can be really famous. You never know, I guess. Mm-hmm. So after that, they find out that grandma, or not grandma, they find out that Aunt Kathy donated the box decoration or some of the decorations to Santa Claus. And so I really enjoyed that because we don't normally get magic that much in these movies. And he really was like a real Santa type of thing. Mm-hmm. So what he did was. You do with Santa? Yeah.
But to be honest, Santa creeped me out a little bit.
Really?
It started with the little weird like voiceover in the beginning, mm-hmm. and I don't know, Santa creeped me out a little bit.
Really?
Maybe I'm the Christmas Grinch here.
No, that's funny. That's pretty funny. Yeah, so Santa was like, well,
we never get it. So maybe I just like was not expecting like the magic Santa, because it was like you said, it was like it wasn't just someone playing Santa, at least yeah. that's not what we were led to believe, but anyway, sorry.
Yeah, so Santa didn't have any use for mistletoe, so then he donated it to this his buddy named Buddy, the Christmas tree farmer. So the next day they go to a Christmas tree farm, and this was a very interesting new concept, having a Christmas tree farm of fake Christmas trees. So what did you think of Buddy and his Christmas trees and his teenage romance that he employs?
Yeah, they were pretty cozy. Those two employees, they definitely were not working. They were not doing what they should have been doing on the clock. But anyway, yeah, but it was like the new concept of like the artificial tree lot. Cause were all the trees artificial? I can't remember.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, cause then you get that experience, but you still get your artificial tree. Am I? I don't know if there's things that are actually like that. At least I don't know if there are. So that was definitely interesting.
Yeah. So I think that's definitely like a cool idea, because like they said about the Christmas trees being more like eco-friendly because they last longer and things like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. That was also interesting information.
Yeah.
That whole thing.
That's something I didn't know. I mean, also, there are actually a lot of people who are like allergic to different types of Christmas trees.
Mm.
So they have to have fake trees. And also if you have pets, like a lot, like cats,
mm-hmm.
if they eat evergreen, like they're going to get super sick. So
yeah.
like if you have certain pets and things like that, like you can't really have a real tree, but having that experience of still going to buy your fake tree at this Christmas tree lot, and he had like different options he was talking about, like, you know, ones that were biodegradable and things. I was like, I didn't even
yeah.
know to do that with a tree. I was like, okay. And then these are pre-lighted and these aren't. And like he said, a bunch of different ones. I was like, okay, well, he's got options. But yeah, that was fun. So then he's like, oh, well, the mistletoe was the only thing I sold, the only decoration I sold. And he sold it to this guy who works at a bar or owns a bar. So then they have to go to the bar and they, for some reason, trick the bouncer instead of just telling them why they were.
Yeah, that was one thing I had with this movie. Like, I really didn't get it. I'm like, they didn't even try to explain. Their first instinct is, we need to steal the mistletoe. What?
And like, I just kind of took it as like they've reached the point in this search where they've just like, you know, they're just like, whatever, this is what we have to do. We have to get it back type of thing. It's not like they weren't thinking clearly. I don't know. But that was pretty funny with the bouncer, and the bouncer was like all mad. Like, I want to spend time with family or whatever. And then he's like, oh yeah, you can go to the bathroom. I'll make you hot cocoa and all this stuff. I was like, all right, bouncer's okay. The bouncer. So then the owner comes back and he's apparently a huge meteorology fan. Mm-hmm. What did you think of the bouncer, the bar, the bouncer, the bar owner? What did you think of all that?
It was a very interesting dynamic because we were kind of presented as them both being kind of like stern, and then they just like kind of quickly very softened up and like, okay, yeah, we're gonna help you. And mm-hmm. and all that. So yeah, those are interesting.
Yeah. And then I thought that maybe because they're like, oh, there was no like love with the mistletoe, like what happened type of thing. And so I thought it might be like, oh, they were going to be like, oh, well, you can love, like love is different. Like, oh, he loves meteorology and he loves his friends that love meteorology or something like that. But we end up finding out that the that wasn't the real mistletoe. The mistletoe the kissing teenagers had kept at the lot, which was pretty funny. But hey, that guy's Christmas was still made. He got a picture with the meteorologist. So
there you go.
Perfect. So then they have this conflict. What did you think of the argument they had outside of the bar and all that?
I thought that one could have been executed a little better. That was one little like negative I had. Because it was like, well, A, Brad breaks up with her via text. So that was a little weird. And so they really saw the wrong mistletoe. And I kind of understand like Harper like is self-destructing at this point, but she so very quickly dismisses Luke, and it just felt a little inconsistent to me, like the way the scene played out. Because then she like very quickly realizes like, oh, that was dumb, and you know, comes back. But yeah, so I felt like the conflict could have been done a little better.
Yeah, definitely, I completely agree with that. Yeah, so then she meets Santa again, and Santa is real Santa apparently, because he just calls her a cab and then disappears. And guess who the cab driver is?
Dun dun dun!
Robert. So then she goes back to her family's Christmas party, calls Luke, and just tells Luke that she's in love with him, and it was so cute. He shows up with the right mistletoe,
and they kiss under it, you know.
They kiss under
it. After.
Live happily ever after. It was so sweet. But going back to a different part of the movie was that Luke knew her and she didn't know him. So I mean, I've only been out of high school for about 5 years. So normally when I run into someone that I went to school with, I still recognize them. But I don't know, Jess, have you had experiences where you've like seen someone and not known who they were at all that you went to school with, I guess?
No. And that's one thing I was like, kind of like, is this realistic? But I also went to a school of only 200 people. So I knew everybody. But I'm like, well, maybe they went to like a really big school and it's possible that, you know, they weren't well acquainted, or after all this time they've changed some, you know what I mean? A bigger school, you have a lot more people to remember. So
yeah,
it's possible, I guess. But I did kind of like hesitate over that. I was like,
Especially if they went to school together from kindergarten to 12th grade.
Yeah, that's true. It was grade and high school. So
yeah. So they went to school together for a very, very long time. But I just thought it was funny when he's like, oh, I need to take a selfie to show all my high school friends because they won't believe me. I'm hanging out with the prettiest girl in school or something. Did he say the prettiest girl in school?
I think so.
Yeah, which I thought was really cute.
And then speaking of cute, when she lets it slip that he's cute.
I know. I was like, oh, that's adorable. And you can just like see it on his face, like his smile, and he's like, oh, so you think I'm cute? And I was like, oh, I love this. This is so
great. She's like, well, you are, you know, like kind of saving the world. So I was like, I know.
It was just so adorable. I love
it. And oh, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, keep going.
I was to say, and the fashion show. We have to talk about the mini fashion show.
Yes. And then, okay. But she picked like the most boring thing and least Christmassy dress to wear at the end. I would have kept the Christmas leggings and the I Heart Santa shirt. Like,
she just wanted to be like, you know, I don't know. That's more of her style. She's kind of a Grinch, you know. That fit with her character. She didn't want to be too sparkly.
Yeah,
exactly. She's not that changed yet.
Yeah. But I thought that the whole thing was adorable. And then she was all like, oh, I can get Elle a hat. Just her like realization. It was so cute. I really, really enjoyed this movie just so much.
Yeah. And we learned too that he used to practice law and he gave it up to run this thrift store. So people could like be able to afford things. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
How were you not taken?
So like, sweet.
My goodness. This character. Telling you, I fell in love with him an hour and a half.
I know.
It's real, guys. It's real.
And then the part when she does figure out, like, it's Lucas from high school and, like, you know, he was always in comic books and everything. And that look on her face when he walks away and she goes, like, that's Lucas. guess, like, this realization, like, OMG. Her face was perfect. It was great. It was just so awesome. Yeah. So do you have anything else to talk about from this movie? I mean, I could gush about it longer if you'd prefer.
Yeah. But. Goodness. I think we covered most of the highlights, at least. Mm-hmm. It was cute. Yeah. I loved when she said too, you know what irks me every time you say magic?
And then she was saying it at the end and I was like, yes, we Christmas won.
We've been converted into a Christmas lover.
I know, it's so great.
It's possible.
Yeah, it was so great. All right, so what would you rate this balloon?
Well, as you know, I really like this movie. Fantastic chemistry, and I love the lighthearted comedic tone. I gave it 9 out of 10. Just a little bit of docking, just because, just a few little areas that were like maybe a little clunky, storyline-wise. But that's more like the highest rating I've ever given to date. You really gotta. Like I said, I'm a little stingy, so you really gotta sell me for that 10 out of 10.
Yeah, so I gave it 9 out of 10 too. Like, this is, I think this is the one I've rated the highest this year, from Up and everything. I really enjoyed this movie, and it, you know, it gave me Christmas movie Christmas vibes. It didn't get all the way there, but it gave me Christmas movie Christmas vibes from last year. It made me so happy.
I know. It was adorable. Oh my gosh. And especially if you're a Hallmark fan, you already know Steven, like, you're gonna love it. You're gonna love seeing him in this.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. If you like Steven Huzar, you're gonna love this movie.
Oh, and if you're part of the Postables, Jessica Sippos plays Jessica into the altar. So,
oh, okay then.
You might, oh, and she's in Chesapeake Shores, which I've never seen, but I did look it up, and she's in Chesapeake Shores.
Yeah, I've never watched Chesapeake Shores either. I didn't realize she was in Sign, Sealed, Delivered, because I think To the Altar is the only Sign, Sealed, Delivered one I've ever seen. The only other Sign, Sealed, Delivered information I have is those first 11 episodes I edited of Deliver Me a Podcast.
Well, here's another fun fact. Grayson Hall, who played Zane, is also in Sign, Sealed, Delivered. So apparently it's just a little reunion party going on. He played Sam in Soulmates.
Yeah. So we do have on the podcast, so later this month, we're going to have an interview with Steven Huzar that's available, which I'm editing currently. A Grayson Hall interview will be coming out later this month. And then we do have that interview came out a few weeks ago, wrote and starred in A Ring for Christmas. So interviews from all these people from Up. There's also an interview from one of the Up TV representatives that we had out a couple weeks ago that Rachel did. So if you want to go learn more about these movies or from these people, there's all these different interviews that you can go check out, and I'll put links in the description. So Jess, so far, how do you feel about Up's lineup? And how would you compare it to other channels you've watched so far? I don't know which channels you are partaking in this Christmas season.
So far, only the Hallmark channels. I haven't watched any Lifetime, but I plan to watch some of the Lifetimes, hopefully if I get time. I think Hallmark's had a really, really strong start. So I don't think it's quite up to Hallmark level, but Mistletoe Magic got pretty close. I mean, that one's the one to... That was a close one. So we still got a couple more. And I think for Up, you know, like, this isn't a bad start. I mean, I didn't hate any of them. Yeah. You know, like I said, my ratings can be kind of stingy sometimes, but I didn't hate them. None of them were like, I just like want to die.
Yeah.
None of them took me to a dark place. Yeah. So, and some movies have. Some of the Hallmarks last year took me to a dark place. I just didn't say it that way, but...
Yeah, definitely. And I just want to say, if anyone from Lifetime or Hallmark or anything, anyone is listening, you know, the ones on Up that have like actual Christmas magic, like we had an actual Santa, we had Mistletoe Magic. Last year we had, you know, the whole magic Christmas movie land and everything. People like the real magic, and I don't know why the other channels don't use it.
Yeah. Like, that's one thing I'll say about Up. They take more risks, I think, in their movies. Now, they always pay off. Not always, but sometimes they really do, like in this movie. So, you know, take those risks, see what happens.
Yeah, from time to time, Hallmark, like a real Santa, okay. A real, you know, like, come on, it's good. Use the magic. People like the magic of Christmas. Use it. So that is I will get off of my soapbox about Christmas magic now.
But thank you for giving us Christmas magic and magic mistletoe. We like the magic.
So right now when we're recording this, all I've watched so far is two Hallmark movies, three Lifetime, three Up, and one Netflix. So right now, Up is leading. So I'm sure that will change later on, but so far I think Up had a really, really great start this year.
Wait, which one, Hallmark, have you watched?
So I watched Jingle Bell Bride and Cranberry Christmas. I wasn't really a huge fan of Cranberry Christmas. And then Jingle Bell Bride is my number one so far on my whole list. Okay. It's my number one. But yeah, I need to, this is what
up, Amy.
I know.
I want to talk. I'm still too behind, I think.
This is normally what ends up happening, is I watch all the Lifetime, the Netflix, all the off-network ones to cover, and then I watch all the Hallmark ones in January.
After you've already heard everything about them.
Yeah, exactly. That's what normally happens. Because it's just like, I don't cover Hallmark on the podcast. So like, I just don't watch those until they end. So yeah. All right. Well, that is our recap for our first three Up movies. We're going to do three more in December. Let us know what you thought of these movies. Do you agree with our rankings? I mean, Jess and I gave the same ranking for two of these movies.
Yeah.
So out of three.
I mean, that's a lot better than the preview show.
Definitely. So leave comments down below. What did you think of these movies? Do you agree with us? Do you not agree with us? And what are you looking forward to on Up in the future? But before we go, Jess, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at JessBSWBlog on Twitter and on Instagram.
And you can find me at It's Amy Craig on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, anywhere else. And then you can find Upside. We are at OUA Upside across social media. And then you can find the Hallmarkies podcast anywhere. You can search Hallmarkies pod or Hallmarkies podcast. We have Twitter, we have Instagram, we are on YouTube, iTunes, etc. We have merch, various Christmas inspired merch available right now. Link will be in the description for that. If you want to go ahead and support us on Patreon, we would really appreciate it. We love it, especially during the Christmas season. You get special opportunities, like we have movie watch alongs every month. We have a special Facebook group, other fun things that you can do if you can become a patron and support us. And we just hope you are all having a Merry Christmas. Thank you for supporting. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we will talk to you all very soon. Bye.
Bye, guys.